Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, listeners. This is Marcia Guerriere, your host, and you're listening to Women on the Rise Talk, episode number 5. When we empower each other, we all rise. On today's episode, we're talking with Retha Fernandez, a certified meditation instructor. It's going to be a great half hour for you guys. If you're new to Women on the Rise, I founded this organization as a way to empower, encourage, and support women to live their best lives through entrepreneurship at any age. We host events that seek to bring empowerment and opportunity to women. Our annual expo happening September 9th in New York allows women small business owners to showcase their business and also help encourage other women to start a business at any age. We are counting down to our first Women on the Rise Plan, Play, Prosper retreat in April. For more information, visit our website at www.womenontherisenY.com or email us at info@womenontherisenY.com. As you know, this is our final week in the month of March that we're broadcasting, and it is still Women's History Month. And with each broadcast, we've highlighted a female leader that we think you should know about. On today's show, we're going to be talking about Avery. Miss Avery is an American healthcare activist who has worked to improve the welfare of African American women by creating the National Black Women's Health Project in 1981. She has received the MacArthur Foundation's Fellowship for Social Contribution and the Gustav O. Leinhard Award for the Advancement of Healthcare from the Institute of Medicine of the National Academy of Science, among other awards. In 1990, Avery, along with 15 other African-American women and men, formed the African-American Woman for Reproductive Freedom. Avery appeared as one of the interviewees in the PBS documentary Makers, which is how I learned about her. If you haven't seen this documentary series, I suggest you go online, YouTube it, PBS.com or .org, I forget which one, but she's remarkable. So let's give a shout out to Bailey Avery. So listeners, we'd like to welcome our guest, Retha Fernandez, to our show. Retha offers personal development through mindfulness and meditation instruction. She's a former technology executive having 10 years in the prestigious beauty industry. Retha is now helping others create a lifestyle they desire through a focus on wellness and personal development, guiding others to live happily, to experience and do the things they thought were unachievable, and to embrace the connection to all. So I would love to welcome you guys, how apropos for Women on the Rise to have Ms. Fernandez on this show. Retha, welcome to our show.
Hi, Marcia. Thank you. Thanks so much. I'm happy to be here.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to have you here. Retha and I have met here on Long Island through many sister events that I've attended in Nassau County, and it's been a great pleasure whenever we saw each other. I think we recently met at a brunch for Women of Integrity, for which you do serve as a board member. So we'd love to get into that. We'll talk about your career over 15 years in technology and how you transitioned to this amazing work that you do with women and your charity work. So let's start with, how'd you go from 9 to 5 to full-time entrepreneurship?
9 to 5 to 24 hours.
Yes, and that's why I did not say People think because, oh, it's this whole big thing out there. Oh, give up your 9-to-5. Oh, but your 9-to-5 is all you give them. But when you're doing it for yourself, right, 24 hours.
That's right.
Tell us all about how you transitioned.
And I'm grateful to be able to now do work that I can live and breathe and really feel connected to and also serve. So, like you said, I was in technology for over 15 years, and the pace and the demands of that career, coupled with me not taking proper care of my health and well-being, led to me having high levels of stress and then eventually illness. So the career was great. It was, I progressed 2 years with promotions. The last role I had was in an executive position, and being in an executive position, all the perks and benefits came with that, travel, but also, making tough decisions and sacrificing sometimes being with my family and friends and then sacrificing taking care of myself for the job.
Right.
I don't regret any of it, though, because I do take everything that I've experienced as a learning opportunity. It has taken me going through this journey to realize that they were learning opportunities. But the stress really led me to this new life that I have. So I got sick.
Right.
I took a leave of absence, and I went on a yoga and meditation retreat at the Chopra Center for Wellbeing in Carlsbad, California. So I attended the Seduction of Spirit retreat, and there's where I learned the 7 spiritual laws of yoga. And this was as written by Deepak Chopra. So the Chopra Center was founded by Deepak Chopra. So I went there, and that retreat really changed my life. And I mean this in the fullest sense of the phrase. It changed my life. I came home, and I decided that practicing these laws and meditating daily was how I now wanted to live my life. And the 7 spiritual laws, if for those that may have not heard of it, Deepak wrote the 7 spiritual laws of success and also the 7 spiritual laws of yoga. And really these laws are, I call them like a framework for life. And they're 7 because they correspond with each day of the week. And you practice each law, 1 law per day. But eventually what you will begin to see is that you practice elements of each law throughout your everyday. So practicing these laws, meditating daily, this is what I wanted to do. Then I went back to the Chopra Center, and I went on another retreat, and this one is called Journey into Healing, and that one is where I learned about Ayurveda, the science of life, and eating well, and your doshas. And I said, this is phenomenal. You go to the Chopra Center and you kind of get addicted to the Chopra Center. So I said,
right.
I'm learning this phenomenal way of living and being, and I didn't want to keep it, this learning, this awareness, this sense of joy to myself. I wanted to teach it. So luckily,
right,
the Chopra Center has a certification path. And so I pursued the certification through the Chopra Center so I could share this with everyone in my community. In 2015, I also lost 2 friends, 2 dear friends, young women, to stress-related illnesses. And I said, we need to take much better care of ourselves. And you hear a lot of talk about self-care, and meditation is my self-care tool of choice and what I decided to teach. So that's how
I think
stress really brought me to it.
That's fantastic, and you raise a good point about self-care. There's a whole, this big movement on self-care and women's awareness now for self-care, but you seldomly hear meditation as being one of the tools that people should use. So much is about your skin regimen and your, you know, working out only and things like that, but you haven't really seen many people hit the need for meditation. And so I'm so happy that you are bringing it to the masses, and that, you know, you have a great online presence through social media, and you're able to teach people, not just locally here in Long Island, but, you know, hopefully reaching people all over with this meditation. One thing I want you to explain to the viewers, one, I've been to the Deepak Chopra Center when they had one in New York. Phenomenal. If you can tell the viewers, remind them who Deep is. And one thing I want you to explain to listeners too is, what is we kind of get what meditation is. Some people don't, but aside of that, what is it not? You know, people resist it because they think it's religious, or, you know, tell people really what it is and what it is not.
Right. Okay. So Deepak Chopra, I like to say he is, well, certain audiences, he's a BFF to Oprah. And Deepak do the 21-day meditation, and that's how a lot of people are familiar with him. But Deepak is an acknowledged leader in the field of mind-body medicine. He's the author of over 50 books, and he's really changing the way the world views social wellness. He founded the Chopra Center in Carlsbad, California, and the Chopra Center provides many programs, seminars, training in the area in the areas of meditation and Ayurveda and Vedic traditions of India. So these are ancient traditions. So he and his amazing team of doctors and other teachers at the Chopra Center really have a mission to have 1 billion people meditating. This is Deepak's goal. 1 billion people meditating because he believes that we can shift the consciousness of the planet at 1 billion people meditating, which is phenomenal. So the type of meditation, or the meditation technique that I learned from Deepak and other teachers at the Chopra Center, and that I am certified to teach, is called primordial sound meditation. So this is really Deepak's revival of an ancient meditation technique. And we say revival because he made it more accessible for regular people. So you don't have to be you don't have to be dressed in white robes, or, you know, wear special kind of jewelry, or have an altar in your home or anything like that to practice meditation. You can just be you, going about your regular modern day-to-day life and practice meditation. And so this type of meditation, there is no idol worship or anything like that involved. So you can definitely practice your religion, whether it be Christianity, Islam, Judaism. You can practice your religion and still practice this form of meditation. So it really complements, actually, I feel it complements any religious practice that you have in place now.
Oh, that's great. I often tell people that I do think that it goes hand in hand, and it is not a replacement for religion, but it works well together when you are spiritual, prayerful, and take time out to meditate.
Correct.
Why don't you tell us more about ways we can meditate? Give us some benefits of meditation, the health and spiritual aspects, and how you work with your clients for your personal development instruction, and how you help them just get centered, and what you do when you take on a new client.
Sure. So at the Chopra Center, you know, we say that meditation is a tool for rediscovering your body's own inner intelligence. And I say it's all the answers that you need are within you. You just need to give yourself time and space to listen to those answers. And the time and space can be provided to you through meditation and through a regular meditation practice. So it is through this silence that you discover during meditation that you are able to be more creative, be happier, and really enjoy your fullest life. So some of the benefits of meditation is, well, I'll go over the health benefits first, because there's a lot of research out there now about the health benefits of meditation, and it is showing that meditation helps to lower blood pressure. It helps to reduce the rate of certain types of heart diseases. It helps to reduce your anxiety and manage stress. So usually people that first-time meditators come to the practice, as I did, as a result of being stressed out and wanting to manage the stress. And so how meditation does that is it gives your body the opportunity to come out of the stress response. So the stress response or the fight or flight mode is your body's reaction or response to a stressful, to a stressor. And the definition that we give for stress that's from the Chopra Center is your perception of obstacles in the way of your achieving your needs and desires. So if you think about it that way, you get stressed out, I like to say, you get stressed out when you're feeling like you can't be who you are. So whether it be a boss at work, whether it be a spouse, a parent, a sibling, a child, someone doing something to quote-unquote stress you out, if we peel back the layers of what's happening is that you feel like you can't be who you are and what you are. Someone or something is blocking that. And so we get stressed. Right. And your body has a physical response to the stress. And that's the fight or flight response. The problem happens when, and a little bit of stress is okay because this is evolutionary in nature. We have the stress response so that we can prepare to fight, right? But so a little bit of stress is okay. But when your body is constantly in that mode, that's what leads to chronic illness. Your systems don't get the chance to rest and prepare itself for what it needs to do. So during meditation or any sort of relaxation practice, but during meditation, you allow your body to come out of that mode. You allow your body to come back to what's called homeostasis. So your systems can sort of reset and come back into balance. And this is how it helps with reducing or helping to alleviate chronic illness and things like that. So those are some of the health benefits. Some of the spiritual benefits and benefits that I've seen are things like improved relationships. So I've definitely seen improved relationships with my friends, my family members, myself even. You begin to become less judgmental of yourself and of others. You begin to slow down because you are appreciating the stillness or the feelings of stillness that you have during meditation, and you're appreciating that even while you are going about your daily life. You're being more mindful, more present. So you're slowing down. You're less reactionary. And you want to bring joy to yourself and everyone around you. You begin to realize that we're all connected. And so once you realize that we're all connected, if I hurt myself, I'm essentially hurting you because we are connected. So those are some of the sort of spiritual benefits that I've experienced through my regular daily meditation practice. And what's regular? What's a daily practice? That is twice a day, 30 minutes a day.
Twice a day, 30 minutes a day.
twice a day, 30 minutes a day. But I also say do what you can, right? Do what you can and make your way up to that. And myself, sometimes I don't get in my second one. Sometimes I just get my first one in and I don't get my second one. But I don't beat myself up for it because it's a practice and it's something that we sometimes it's not as quote-unquote perfect as we want it to be. And that's another thing, too, because people say when I tell them what I do, oh, I need that, I really need that, but I can't do that. I can't quiet my thoughts. I can't stop. It's so hard.
Yeah.
And I say, well, okay, thoughts are part of the process. And this is something that through our training, they sort of drill in. Thoughts are part of the process. It's what's supposed to happen. It's what we do with those thoughts that sort of makes the difference. So through a regular meditation practice, you learn to quiet the mind. You learn to quiet those thoughts. And you learn that whatever experience that you're having during your meditation is the right experience for you. It's the experience that you're supposed to have. And through the practice of not judging yourself, you begin to learn to say, okay, all right, well, I'm having thoughts now, or I had a lot of thoughts during that practice, and maybe another day you don't have as many thoughts. But whatever it is that you experience during that meditation is all okay, and anyone can do it.
So I do have a question. So for the new people starting their practice, is there a right place? So you talked about then you don't have to be perfect. So is there mm-hmm. a right place? Can there be noise around you? I oftentimes find myself in those situations, like you mentioned a little while ago, when I put myself in, regardless of what's going on around me and all the chaos and all the noise, and I can kind of tune that out and become centered. And I consider that, you know, my meditation for that 2 minutes or whatever it is. What is the proper way to get into a daily like ritual of meditation?
Yeah, it's I go through this. So I offer a 4-session course in primordial sound meditation instruction, and in mm-hmm. that course, I go through like the nuts and bolts and go really into detail about how you can incorporate a meditation into daily meditation practice into your life. And so some of the things I talk about in the course is, you know, the where and the when and what needs to be around you or not and things like that. So I'll say for any beginner, if you can find a quiet place in your home, whether it be a room or a closet or outside under a tree, something where if you can find a quiet place in your home, I would say go there. And all you need is a chair or a cushion, something to sit on, back support if you know that you'll need support for your back, and then your breath, and that's it. And one of the tips that we give in order to sort of make this stick and make it easier to continue the practice is to follow RPM. And RPM is rise, P, and then meditate. So let your first meditation be the first thing that you do in the morning. Right after P, but before anything else, let your first meditation be that. And go to your quiet place. And start your meditation practice. Now, if you don't have a very quiet place, I happen to live near a major highway, so sometimes I do hear the sounds of the cars outside. But at this point, now that's sort of like an ambient noise for me. But in the beginning, I have to say that it was a little bit distracting. But then through the practice and how I teach it, you learn to not cling to those thoughts and sort of come back to your mantra, which is something that, which is the technique of this meditation, repeating a word or a sound over and over. So, yeah, if you can find a quiet place, do it. A semi-quiet, do it.
That's awesome. We have quite a bit of callers that have called in, and I think we have some questions for you. So let's try this this dashboard and take some callers.
Okay.
Hello, caller. State your name and where you're calling from and what questions do you have for Aretha? Wait. Let's see. Let's try someone else. Caller, are you there? Hi. Mo, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Would you like to have a question for Aretha?
Yes, I would. I was just thinking, Aretha, I am more of a spiritual person, and you did say that it can be worked in conjunction with that. So my question is, when you're meditating, are you meditating like, let's say, on a scripture, or would you, are you clearing your mind of all thought and just kind of being aware of your breathing, or does that make sense?
Yes. You said your name was Mo?
Yes, Maureen.
Yes,
or Mo.
Maureen. Hi, Maureen.
Hi.
Thank you for calling in, and thank you for your question. It's a good question and a common question that I get. Yes. The meditation technique that I practice is more about clearing your mind and redirecting thoughts to your mantra or your breath. So it is not meditating on any particular scripture. It's not saying any string of chants or anything like that. It's really about a settling, quieting of the mind so that you can transcend thoughts and reach stillness. So it's very, I say again, very complementary to any other religious practice that you may have.
Okay, I have another question, if I may. I hope it's not
sure. Sure.
But then, how do you what is the definition of mantra? What is a mantra then?
Yes, mantra. The word is defined as a sound vehicle. So you use the mantra so that you can reach deeper levels. So a general mantra that Deepak teaches and that I use often is so hum. Mm-hmm. So the mantra doesn't really have a meaning. We use the mantra for its vibrational quality. And for a beginner for meditation, you can repeat so hum with your inhale and exhale. So if you want to practice that, you inhale so, exhale hum, and repeat that going with the flow of your breath. So hum, so hum, so hum, silently to yourself. And it means nothing. If you are associating any thought with so hum, you know, we say try not to, just try to focus on the so hum, so hum, so hum. And it's really a vehicle to take your mind to quieter, deeper level.
Okay.
Does that answer
That's
your
very
question?
Interesting.
Yes, it does. Yes.
So, thank you, Maureen, for your call. So that's very interesting. So the sound, because I was practicing that while you were talking, so hum. If you are still and you're in that practice, you can feel the area of your body which is kind of being directed to. So if I say so hum, I can feel my core engaging in that, which you kind of never pay attention to as you're talking. But I think
exactly.
That's sort of fascinating.
And you can also I'm sorry, Marsha. And you can also when you say it out loud, when you repeat it out loud, you can feel the vibration of it on your tongue and on your lips. So the so hum, so hum, so hum, you feel it. But of course, when we're repeating it during meditation, we're doing it silently, but you still have the same sort of effect within your body.
That's awesome. Let's try and get another caller in. but she's on the line now. Caller number 1, 2, 3, 4, number 4. Tell us your name and where you're calling from. Do we have any callers with any questions for Aretha? You're on the air. Don't be shy. Now's your time. So, Aretha, tell us more where we can find you, where, how we can join this class. It sounds like an amazing class. Tell us about it. If you are local, where we can find your class and have a deeper connection with meditation.
Sure. Thank you, Marcia. So I am in Long Island, and right now I teach a weekly 60-minute class in Garden City at Anaz Spa and Fitness. That's A as in Apple, N as in Nancy, O, Z as in Zebra, which is another woman-owned spa. And at Tuesdays at 6:30 at Anaz, I am there doing a 60-minute meditation with you. And usually I start out with a talk. I reflect on some aspect of my day or maybe in the past week. I talk about one of the 7 spiritual laws. And then we meditate together. And so that's weekly. That's my only class right now at that center. I do offer my full primordial sound meditation instruction privately. So if you would like to learn or go deeper with a practice, we can set up an appointment. I can come to you. And over a period of 3 or 4 days, I can instruct you fully in primordial sound meditation. If you have a group of people that you want to get together to learn it, we can do that as well. So I can come to wherever you are. And then I'm also on social media. So my Instagram is Soul of Long Island, SoulOfLongIsland. And that's also my Facebook, Soul of Long Island, as well. And on those two pages, I share tips, research. I love research. I love basing a lot of what I do on the research. And so on my Facebook page, you'll see some of that, and you can stay up to date on where I may be speaking or doing a meditation class or a sister circle or anything like
that.
So I'd love it if you follow me.
Please do, guys. Go on to Instagram, Facebook, follow Reef of Long Island, spelled out, SoulOfLongIsland. Her website is also of the same name, soulOfLongIsland.com. You'll get great tips. Remember what she's taught you today. You can start small, try 5 minutes or 10 minutes, sit on your way to work, on the train, 30 minutes in traffic, use your mantra. So hum is the mantra that she taught us today. And I'm glad you guys were able to experience this great conversation that we're having on our women's health and spiritual benefits. Aretha, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure. Stay tuned for some more.
It's been a pleasure.
Aretha and I would love to work with you. I'd love to have Women on the Rise host a health and spiritual workshop with you. So you guys,
yes, I'd love it.
Not following Aretha, keep following Women on the Rise, and we'll bring you that workshop at some point in the near future. Thank you so much, Aretha.
Awesome.
It's been great talking to you.
Phenomenal. Thank you, Marcia. Have a good evening.
You're welcome. You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Tune in next week as we kick off my birthday month, April. We'll be talking to many phenomenal women. You know, we started off saying this month was going to be our only month, but the response has been so overwhelming. We're going to keep it one more month, just one more for my birthday month. It's my month. And we'll tune in next week. And until then, remember, when we empower each other, we all rise.